Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Joy Powers. Before the break, we talked about the sometimes ugly nature of the gender divide in sports. There are plenty of issues confronting sports in this country, but there is still a lot of beauty in the games we play at the amateur, the collegiate, and the pro level.
Kwame Alexander would say that it's poetry. Two of his most recent novels for middle grade readers are essentially hip-hop verse poems. Booked is the latest one and tells the story of Nick Hall, a young soccer player and reluctant wordsmith whose family life may or may not be falling apart. It builds on the success of Alexander's 2014 Newbery Award winner, The Crossover, which had basketball at its heart. Alexander will talk about his books at Boswell Book Company this Sunday, but he joins us by phone from where else? A middle school library right near his home outside Washington, D.C. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, and I wanted to start by saying that I have a daughter in sixth grade, and my reading The Crossover and Booked and then getting to interview you has won me about, 500 coolness points from her and her friends. So I guess I should just start by thanking you for that.
Hey, you're very welcome. And I got to tell you, man, enjoy sixth grade because I have two daughters. And when eighth, ninth grade comes, whew, huge change for us as fathers.
I suspect the coolness points will not be coming as quickly.
No, the coolness will be on hold, my friend, for about 10 years.
So we're having this conversation the day after the men's NCAA basketball championship happened.
Oh, did you see that shot?
Yeah. Well, and having read The Crossover not all that long ago, I found myself watching the end of that game and seeing the poetry in everything about it.
That's the beauty of it, man. I mean, poetry, you know, basketball is poetry in motion. And that was just... Oh, it was such a great ending. It was sort of like a haiku. You know, when you write a haiku, the last line of a haiku is always the aha, the reveal. And that whole game, that last shot, it was the aha. Nobody was expecting it. I wasn't expecting it. Michael Jordan wasn't expecting it. But it was, you know, it was poetry in motion, and it was so poetic and well done.
Well, and so much more poetic than had it gone into overtime and, you know, one of the teams winning by like 5 points.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, it worked out how it was supposed to work out. And, again, like you said, overtime would have been a different kind of energy. Would have been a Robert Frost poem, maybe.
Well, let me ask you then, speaking of aha moments, I mean, you don't have to answer in haiku, but when did the aha moment come for you about the, to use an appropriate word here, the crossover between sports and poetry?
The aha moment came for me in poetry when I met a girl on a bus a year after college. And so the way I discovered it was going to be best for me to communicate that I was interested in her was through poetry. And I ended up writing a poem a day for a year, and she ended up marrying me. and that was sort of my big aha that, wow, poetry saved my life. It has the power to sort of transform our lives in a really profound and lifelong ways, and it got me married. And I think from that point on, everything sort of became connected to poetry, connected through poetry. And so it wasn't that something that happened at a certain point where I said, oh, I'm going to use poetry to showcase sports for young people. It was that everything in my life revolved around poetry. It was a part of my relationship with my daughter. I wrote poems about my daughter. I remember when she came home one day and said she wanted to go on a date. You know, the way I dealt with that was by writing this poem called 10 Reasons Why Fathers Cry at Night. You know, so many of those moments and experiences in my life were all distilled through this lens of poetry, and sports just happened to be one of those other things.
I kind of want to read the poem about the 10 reasons that fathers cry at night now.
Yeah, no, it was a poem that allowed me to be able to deal with that reality that your child, your oldest child, is ready to go out into the world and sort of find her own groove. And that's a difficult task because you want to give your children wings to sort of soar, but you don't want them to fly too far away from you. And so it's a tricky situation. And so writing that poem allowed me to be able to cope with what was going on in her life and in my life. And it helped us both.
Why do you think it's poetry that does this? Why poetry of all the literature out there, why is it so important versus anything else, at least to you?
Well, I think because it's show, not tell. I think because it's so few words, and it's so much, Mitch. I mean, you're taking these really heavy emotional topics and themes, and you're filtering them through this lens of this art form that uses very few words, has so much white space, uses rhythm and heart and passion and energy and movement to make these things palatable, to make them digestible for us. And I think that's a comforting thing. I remember working with this group of students in Herndon, Virginia, this group of seventh graders, and they were writing a book of poems, and we were trying to decide what the title of the poem was, and they said, we're going to call it Winter Coat. And I said, why are you going to call your book Winter Coat? They said, because they felt like the poems comforted them, kept them warm. And I think ultimately that's what poetry does, is it keeps us warm. It keeps us sort of in a place where we're able to deal and cope with the world and our place in it. And I think once kids get that, once they get an opportunity to sort of use poetry to express their feelings and thoughts, I think they gravitate towards it. And I think we got to do more of that in school. We got to offer that more for kids.
Well, so I've read both The Crossover, your basketball book, and Booked, which has soccer at its core. But besides sports and besides poetry, what the two books really seem to have in common is, and maybe this is the right term, but it's boyhood of a certain age. What do you find so compelling about the age that Nick is in Booked and Josh and his brother are in The Crossover?
That sounds like I don't know if you ever saw that show that Ray Romano did called Men of a Certain Age.
Well, that was where it came to mind, actually, yes.
Yeah, wasn't that a great show?
It was a great show, especially for men of a certain age.
Yeah, exactly. Well, at that age, that 11, that 12-year-old age, I believe that we're at a crossroads. We're sort of like Robert Johnson playing the blues. We're at that crossroads. Which way are we going to go? And it's a make-or-break time for boys. I remember it being that way for me. I could have gone in numerous directions. And so how do we capture that crossroads in a way that enlightens and empowers young boys and give them some of the tools and tips and techniques that they need to sort of make that right decision in terms of which way they're going to go in their lives? It's a crucial age, I believe, in terms of identity, purpose, and direction. And I like to talk about those things because I remember what I went through and how I made it to the other side, and so many of my friends who didn't, who ended up going in different directions and weren't necessarily able to fulfill their potential and weren't able to live their dream. And I'm saddened by that to the degree that I can try to write characters that show boys that you can live your dreams, that your wildest dreams can come true, and that starts with, you know, as you know, the one way that I'm a big proponent of is that starts with an appreciation, an understanding, and an engagement with words. And I think you show me a kid who knows the dictionary, you show me a kid who uses words like pulchritudinous, you show me that kid who loves reading, and I'll show you a kid who's headed down the right path 99.9% of the time.
Well, it's interesting because I look at pictures from some of your events and, you know, even though these are books about boys, there are a lot of girls that are just devouring them. And a couple things came to mind, but one of them is, do you think, is there still some work that needs to be done to get boys into fiction in general and maybe poetry specifically?
No, I think the work that needs to be done is the work on our part as the adults. You go on a basketball team or a football team, you go to a game. You see the boys slapping each other on the butt. You see the boys crying, you know, when they lose the game. You see the boys getting each other excited when, you know, when somebody makes a tackle. All that, my friend, is emotion. That's all the stuff that we say boys aren't into. If they're doing it on the field and on the pitch and on the court, how do we capture that energy and put it on the page? How do we give it back to boys so that they can then have a form of literature that they can connect with, that resonates with them, that relates to them, that they feel comfortable with? And I think that's what I tried to do with The Crossover and Booked, is really just give them back what they already were giving, you know, the world, but people don't see it. You got to see these boys and how they interact with each other on the field. It's family, it's love, it's familial, it's friendship. And those are all the things that that I want to explore in the books. And the sport is really just a backdrop. It's a way for me to talk about love and friendship and family and all the things that matter, not only to boys, but like you said, to girls, to parents, to librarians, to teachers, to grandparents, to all of us, because it's about being human.
Is vulnerability a part of the picture, too?
Heck yeah. I was that kid. Hey, look, and don't tell anybody. It's between me and you. I was that kid who used to listen to oldies but goodies at night and fall asleep night dreaming and thinking about this girl who smiled at me in seventh grade. Or, you know, I was that vulnerable kid who didn't mind sharing. And I got joked on it, but I didn't mind. I mean, I took it. But, you know, a lot of boys aren't gonna be able to take it. And so they try to hide it. But it doesn't mean it's not there. And so if we're crushing it, we're not giving boys a way to open up and be vulnerable and be sensitive, then what kind of men are we creating? And so when I write these books, I think I intentionally set out to write characters who are going to be vulnerable, who are going to be sensitive. That's not new. It's not unreal. It's authentic. It happened to me, and I know it happens to a lot of boys.
Well, and in the case of Nick in the latest book and Josh in the crossover, maybe to a lesser degree, but still somewhat, I mean, they both seem to share this sense that life is just kind of happening to them and they don't have control over everything.
We don't, right. And so how do we get control over it? You know, what kind of things need to happen in our life? Who are we surrounding ourselves with? Who are our parents? Who are the adults in our life who are responsible for helping us navigate that journey? And, you know, for Nick, got a mom and a dad who are trying to help him, and he may not agree with everything they say and do, but ultimately they have his best interest at heart. He's got a librarian in the MAC who sees his value and wants to help him understand his own worth as it relates to language and literature. And so that is something that I felt was very important, too. Teachers and librarians, I mean, they're with kids one-third of the day, and so they have an opportunity to help young people see their potential and reach beyond it. And what happens when the librarian or the teacher does the complete opposite, doesn't have high expectations for the child? And I remember I was at dinner with a group of teachers, and this teacher said, I want you to meet one of my students. She's one of the good ones. And I thought to myself, wow, if she's one of the good ones, how do you connect and what's the fate of the kids in your class who are not, quote, the good ones? And I think that's why I try to write characters, adults in these novels, who see the good ones in all the kids, who see the possibility and the potential, because that ultimately can help make or break that child.
I wonder, and of course neither of us is an 11 or 12-year-old girl, so maybe you can't answer this specifically, but, you know, I wonder if these rough edges, the vulnerability, the emotion, the stuff that boys don't necessarily advertise about themselves is what makes these books so appealing to girls, that it gives them a window into who these boys really are.
I think on some level, yeah, I agree with you. I think that's a great way to say it. I think on another level, it ain't deep. When I think about growing up, I had two sisters, a mom and a dad. So there were three women in my house and two men. But And to the degree that there were times where there were some sort of men things happening in the house, there were some women things happening in the house, you know, whether they be physical or otherwise. The rest of the time, we were all kids, parents, and family. We all lived and laughed and loved and breathed and ate and drank and smiled and cried together as a family. And so I think that when we begin to sort of segregate the literature and we say, well, boys like these books, or girls like these books, I understand what the intent is. We're trying to get kids to read. But the reality is, you tell a good story, you have a good beginning, middle, and end. You have some compelling, authentic characters who are honest, who are vulnerable. I don't think that you're going to have a difficulty getting boys or girls to read it. And I remember when I was trying to get the crossover published, quite a few publishers had shared with me that girls aren't going to like a book about basketball. Or girls or boys aren't going to like a book about poetry. I don't necessarily buy into those stereotypes. I have the luxury of visiting high schools, middle schools, elementary schools about 3 or 4 days a week. And I know that the kids will get into whatever it is that they find honest, authentic, real, emotional, that connects with them. So So I don't necessarily buy into that notion of sort of segregating the literature based on gender or even race. But I understand the intent. I get it. We're trying to sort of find material that's going to reach a certain kid. But I do set out to, you know, while I have, you know, boys in mind, I do set out to make sure that all these kids are going to get into the literature.
Well, and one of the things I noticed in Booked was that you drop in, you know, it's almost a bibliography of other great books towards the end. I don't want to give away how it comes up, but, you know, I wondered if it was a sly way to grab your young readers and say, hey, you're enjoying this book. Here's what you might pick up next.
I don't want to give away my trade secrets, my man. But all I can say is, like my mama used to say to me, you're cooking with fire now, buddy. You're cooking with fire. I'll just leave it at that.
All I know is that there were some titles that I had not heard of, and the first thing I wanted to do, except that it was like 12:30 at night, was go find a library or a bookstore and pick them up.
Right. Well, good. Then it worked.
Well, listen, it is amazing stuff, and honestly, you're coming to Wisconsin, so I hope you can find the poetry in curling or ice hockey or something while you're here. But regardless, I can't wait for the next one.
You know, I was in Milwaukee once. Looking forward to coming back, and I appreciate you, you know, checking out the books and spreading the word on the power and the joys of poetry. And I look forward to getting booked with you all.
Kwame Alexander, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Kwame Alexander's latest novel, written in verse, is called Booked. It's just out, and he'll talk about it at Boswell Book Company in Milwaukee on Sunday. Alexander is also the author of 20 other books and runs a writing and publishing program for kids.